Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, baby, where the rodeos never go-eos anywhere. They're there to stay. Lots of rodeos in this state. Lots and lots. Rodeos, apparently, because I went to one the other day, that's where you really see these Texans. That's where they are. Everybody, they're hiding out in the rodeos. Everybody else in Austin is not from Austin. So you start to wonder if anybody from Texas is still here. They're at the rodeos. So that's a little tip for you. Just so you know, you want to go Texas people watching, you got to go to the rodeo. Straight up, eat a corn dog. They're so huge, you can hide behind them. The way people used to hide behind a newspaper back in the day when people read large, you know, newspapers, you had to fold them out. They were gigantic. It was like an art form, knowing how to fold them and unfold them and change the page. It was this whole thing. It was kind of like learning how to use a paper fan in a very elegant way. Same thing with reading a newspaper. But we don't have to do that anymore because nobody reads. So anyway, what's going on in the news? What's happening? This is where people like me come in, right? We're going to read the news for you. So you never have to learn how to read again. You're welcome. So first off, we're going to be covering the New York Fed report, which says that more Americans are skipping meals because food is too expensive. Followed by a op-ed by The Guardian about Silicon Valley, who is apparently turning transhumanism into a, quote, secular religion promising immortality and minds uploaded to chips. So we get a little bit more on the AI fear-mongering with the following story that we're going to close on, which is China. An AI company in China is working to develop technology that could predict who might become critical of the government. And those are the stories that we're going to be covering today. So welcome. Welcome to the show. What's going on, my friends? I don't know. Personally, I started taking the baby to the pool. First, we were just doing it because we realized we live in a city with a big ass lake that you're always going to be next to somehow in some form or another. If you're doing anything outside, you'll just end up next to this giant goddamn lake that goes through this godforsaken city. So we decided that it would be negligent not to start teaching this little baby how to float, at least maybe not swim, but floating, or knowing how to get back to the surface if they happen to fall in, right? That's an important thing. We don't know how to do it. We're just looking it up on YouTube. And eventually, I guess when we have enough money, we'll just pay for some swim lessons. But for now, you know, we were like, hey, well, how about we just take her so that she has a positive experience with water, starting with us, and we'll take it from there. So we took her to this pool here, Deep Eddy, which is basically, it's a honey trap for people like us, basically, with little fucking babies, and that we don't know what to do with them, and we go out of desperation, and all of the brain damage that you accrue through sleep deprivation, you finally decide on maybe let's take her to the pool, right? We haven't done that yet. We've tried everything else. She doesn't like, she's bored with everything, all of the books, all of the board books. She's chewed through everything in the house. She has gotten tired of staring at the same playground over and over again. The people she sees every day bore her now. They have no new material. So let's try throwing her in a large body of water. I don't know. Maybe that'll shock her into some kind of fun. So we take her to Deep Eddy, and Deep Eddy is just this place. It's just, it's mobbed with people, with little babies around her age, our baby's age. And the thing is, it's that it has an entry in the shallow side, which is a big shallow area where you can like walk in gradually. It's not stairs. So, you know, whatever, everybody just throws their little babies right over there, just crawl in. And you just kind of let them crawl in until you get a little nervous about it, and then you go get them. And that's great. That's a great thing. But then it's just like just a wall of these parents with their toddlers, and the toddlers are just going varying levels of crazy. There was everything from the quietest babies had to have been a couple of Mexican families, I think, that felt maybe, I don't know, like they didn't belong there or something. I don't know why. And one white lady with a Japanese guy, they were the quietest ones. In fact, they kind of disappeared after a while, like ghosts, and never saw them again. And it was everything from the quietest, like those, to the loudest, which was basically me and my baby. We were the loudest. This baby got in there. I've never seen somebody have so much fun in the water except for me when I was a kid, I guess. But she was definitely having the most fun of all of the babies. She was screaming. She was inventing languages. It was pretty cool. So I feel like we did something right there. And who knows? She's got pretty long arms. She'd probably be a good swimmer. Who the fuck knows? Anyway, that's my personal update. That's what's going on with me. Just doing that kind of shite. Aside from stand-up comedy. And that's kind of it. So let's jump into the stories, shall we? So first up is Americans starving themselves, apparently. So the New York Fed reportedly did a study. Let's see. Let's get into this. Wherein they discovered that Americans are starving themselves. So food-related challenges are surging for America's least well-off residents, and that likely explains the market rise in a sour consumer mood, despite data showing the economy is overall doing pretty well. Oh, okay, so the reason why people are upset with the economy is not because the economy's bad, but it's because they are hangry. They're hungry and angry, and we should do something about that. They need to snack, apparently. So let's see what else they got to say. We find a remarkable increase in food insecurity, particularly among lower educated and lower income households and households with young children, bank economists wrote in a blog posting on Wednesday. Mounting food-related issues also track a contemporaneous increase in pessimism among lower income households and a sharp decline in job-finding expectations. The New York Fed said it surveyed Americans on whether they had recently used savings to cover expenses, had trouble finding enough food to eat, blah, 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 blah. The increases were mostly broad-based across race, age, income, education, generally larger for non-whites, lower income, lower educated households. Okay. Well, I don't know. I feel like a little bit of victim blaming is happening here. Why put to like right side by side with people having less food available, why put how great the economy's doing when it's obviously not doing well for them? They're not intermittent fasting. They don't have enough food or whatever. And yeah, if you're hungry, have you been hungry? You get pretty pessimistic pretty fast. In fact, you get pretty cranky pretty fast. I think that was the foundation for the French Revolution, was a bunch of hangry peasants who were tired of eating paint chips and dirt, finally getting some pitchforks and going, let's go eat the rich people. That's probably what happened. They probably weren't trying to overthrow the monarchy. They were just so hungry. They were like, let's just go eat the fattest, most silky, smooth skin looking people we have available. They're right over there. They are not as strong as us. There's a lot of us. We're more muscular. We've been literally trying to eat tree bark, right? So it takes a lot of strength. And while we still have enough, let's go eat these people. So, and then, you know, they just found themselves in the middle of having to form a new government. And they're like, whoa, we didn't sign up for this. But I don't like how the New York Fed blog post apparently is kind of saying, like, are these, it's almost like they're saying you're too stupid to understand the economy is doing well or something like that. Like they're trying to say, hey, you should eat more because the economy is actually doing great. So the problem is that you don't know how to eat better. like eat more and you'll see that the economy's great. That's kind of the message that I see here. That's let's see what else they have. I guess they're going to go into it and explain why that is. Why is it why that is? The New York Fed report is the latest set of findings from a series of releases detailing the so-called K-shaped economy. Ooh, where the economic fates of the wealthy and those who are not have been diverging. No fucking way, bro. Tell me more. The data on food insecurity was derived from the bank's long-running survey. Okay, yeah, we get it. It's like so super legit and true and so legit. Too legit to quit. Wealthy Americans have been buoyed by rising asset values tied to the stock market, a stable job market, low home borrowing costs. High inflation pressures have prevailed since COVID-19, kept on pressure, key forms of government. The bottom of the K-shape represents a significant share of the middle and lower income population experiencing elevated levels of economic uncertainty and financial hardship, the bank's report said. Such financial stress is reflected in concerns about affordability due to the high cost of living, persistent inflation and high interest rates, and in high delinquency rates for credit cards and auto and student loans. Pessimism over the economy has emerged as a notable trend in recent months as inflation pressures have heated up again, driven by Donald Trump's large-scale import tax increases and his Middle East war that has caused a sizable energy shock, joined with increased uncertainty over the future of the economy. Households have also been stressed by the shift of the job market into a low-hire, low-fire scenario. I mean, that's really what's the deal. That follows what had been a hot hiring sector during the pandemic and its aftermath. Look, that's just, this is, I mean, we're, first off, I love how we have to wait for some eggheads to conduct rigorous research into, across various indicators and income brackets and other things like race and economy, economics and household expenses and blah, 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 blah. We have to wait for these people to conduct the science for them to then make a blog post about something that we had already known about ourselves for the last, 10 years at this point, okay? It was already going in this, we know this. And the thing is, it's like, we're so trained, we're so well-trained, like little Pavlovian dogs, to really just stand at attention and say nothing, do nothing, until somebody goes, the science, like a little bell, like a Pavlovian dog, the science, ding a ding a ding a ding. Here comes the science. And then we start drooling over the latest research of the science. It's like you already know everything that blog post said. Your Facebook feed was a cornucopia of posts that sounded just like that from various people in your life that are completely insane. People who are completely insane. But the thing is, you read insane people's Facebook posts, you still can parse through it and tell when certain parts of it have a ring of truth to them. Because even crazy people they have a finger on the pulse. I feel like crazy people at this point in society have a better finger on the pulse of society than not crazy people, because crazy people are so crazy that they're actually outside more being crazy. They're talking to strangers, they're like wandering into alleyways, they're seeing stuff from the backs of buildings that are going on, they're striking up conversations with guys carrying hatchets. They don't care, they're crazy. They're having a coffee at a bar and they're kind of listening in, you know, cuz they're paranoid. They think the FBI is following them or something's going on, right? But the thing is, this strange mixture of whatever the hell's happened, crystal meth induced schizophrenia is, and also actually the closest to investigative journalism we have today is occurring within the one individual who then makes a Facebook post, and you happen to know them because, I don't know, you met them in community college or something years ago, and they just kind of stayed on your feed because you had a morbid curiosity about how crazy they were going over the years. And so the more all caps posts you saw from them, the more you kind of get, hey, you know what? I kind of want to see where this is going to go. I'm not going to help. I'm not going to reach out. I'm not going to show any kind of support. If they have a GoFundMe, I might throw them $5, but I am going to watch this train crash happen. Watch it. And it's the slowest train crash. This is the benefit of Facebook at this point is Facebook is only good for two things if you're not using the marketplace. One is to see if anybody you know died. You got to reach out to any people, share condolences or something like that, especially as you get older. And two, it's the sort of low-grade entertainment value of watching the crazier people in your life watch their lives spiral slowly out of control, like almost like a glacier like pace over years and years, decades, but until suddenly something crazy happens, right? But in the meantime, they're out there, right? They're crazy and vulnerable, so they do things more outside. They take classes to learn about things because they're like, I need to know about 5G so I know how to blow up the grid, you know, maybe perhaps, or I should maybe so that I can post on Facebook why we should blow up the grids, right? They're like at the public library because their lives are a shambles. So sometimes that's the only safe haven they have as a place where they can access some kind of digital resource like a laptop temporarily or something like that, and they're doing research, right? They're out there, and they're crazy. They're also our investigative journalists now, those crazy people. And I feel like one great thing that we could do with all of your crazy aunts and uncles and neighbors and former classmates and old high school buddies and all of these other people, maybe a person that you met at a bar years ago, once that you would drunk and you were like, this person's awesome, I'm going to friend them. But we should bring them all together into one news publication, because that is a news source that I would subscribe to as a newsletter. I would want it in my email inbox. I want to hear what these people, you know, because it would give them more purpose. They wouldn't post stupid shit anymore. I feel like they would like focus in on the particular brand of crazy of actually trying to tell people what's going on, what's really going on. And it would be the best. I think it would be so great, so entertaining. They would make money. Usually those people, you know, their lives are all over the place and they need money. They could have a donation, or you could just subscribe. I would pay for that paywall. I would pay for that. That would be great if it was just that. But they can be censored, they can't be canceled. That's not fair. Those are the rules. They're crazy. You have to leave them alone. Okay. Let them grow. Let them flourish. Let them be the local investigative journalists that we've been missing over the last few decades. Let them take the place of the old investigative local journalists that we lost due to the internet, and they will do it. They would do it. The only problem is that they will all be Alex Jones, all of them. Every single one of them will be some iteration of Alex Jones. And you might not like that if you don't like Alex Jones in particular, but that's okay, because there will be other versions of him behind that paywall. There will be a communist Alex Jones. There will be a socialist Alex Jones, if you're not too into the all full-on throttle communism, right? There will be a libertarian Alex Jones. I think that might actually be Alex Jones. But there will be a Democratic, there will be a Republican Alex Jones. They will all be there. And they will be just competing voices of insanity, like real distortion shit, you know, like where you can actually like enjoy it. You don't have to wonder if this is completely insane. But then it'll also be a good social experiment, because maybe we could use that as a testing ground to start to know how to separate truth from pure insanity. This is a social training mechanism. I don't know. I think I just invented a business model for myself. All right, moving on. That is our first story. Let's go on to the next one. The next story. This was a long fear-mongering story by The Guardian about Silicon Valley turning transhumanism turned into a secular religion, promising immortality and minds uploaded to chips. And, you know, I have some thoughts on it, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't fucking pick it, right? And first off, it's like, you know, you got this GIF over here, GIF, whatever, how you know, these guys, they're like little Jesuses, right? You got Sam Altman, Elon Musk, you know, get the guys, they're just, you know, The Guardian right away. See, this is the kind of journalism that I'm telling, you know what I mean? Because the thing is, you know, these guys are serious or not. I feel like they're cynical, actually, cynically giving people this kind of slop or fear-mongering kind of shit because they know that this is an anxiety itch that people want to scratch. So they're doing it, but they're not crazy. They're greedy. So it's different. I like a crazy person to be my news source occasionally, you know, just in part. Not the only one, obviously, but a big one. So, yeah. And The Guardian has basically just amassed all of the sort of fear-mongering internet memes that have been circulating in the social media spaces for the last decade. And they put it all together in one lump article, some long-ass shit. You got John Lanner here. Okay, just he's like a AI optimist, right, or whatever. I guess is that what I would call him? I don't know, but he tries to provide alternate perspectives, right? So first, it starts with Sam Altman because that's the most evil guy we know right now, right? Sam Altman famously said he was like, oh, you know, when people complained about during some public speaking appearance he did about. Hey, what about the data centers and the energy that they're going to use up to make this AI work? And he very snarkily replied, do you know how much energy it takes to raise a human? But not the best response. Not the best. Was that taken out of context? I don't think it matters. I don't think you could put that in a context where it would work. What context would it be? Do you know, okay, what context would it be? Hey, Sam Altman, do you know how much energy data centers will use up to make AI? And he goes, do you know how much energy it takes to make a human? And I prefer it. Unless he said that after, if that was like the follow-up to the sentence, I don't know how you could contextually make that better. So Sam Altman, the chief executive of OpenAI, took to the internet a few years ago to propose that Homo sapiens would be the first species to design our own descendants. Say a few years ago, right? So this thing is just trying real hard because it knows that right now we're at a fever pitch of AI fear-mongering and the hysteria. In his best-case scenario, the merge between humans and artificial intelligence occurs at some point over the next 50 years. The merge. That was years ago already. Elon Musk already said that, right? More recently, Elon Musk argued on his social media platform X that it increasingly appears that humanity is a biological bootloader of digital superintelligence, basically saying that we're just a low-level code that boots up a computer before you can run sophisticated programs on it. I mean, they certainly want to make it seem that way, for sure. Then there's like, you know, we have to merge with them unless we, because otherwise we'd be left behind or made extinct. It just goes on, right? And it kind of builds this case based on all these disparate and interconnected you know, things that have occurred. But a lot of it is just competing PR campaigns by these people playing kind of like a 4D chess with their, you know, with their companies, right? They're trying to do something to turn a profit. For whatever reason, right now, the best thing for them to do is to scare people about AI. Why? Probably because if people weren't scared about AI, they wouldn't look into AI, right? If you weren't terrified of AI, at this point, after 20 plus years of having to start multiple social media accounts, find ways to store more and more passwords, being forced to use, you know, like work apps like Slack and shit, having to do Zoom meetings, the passwords, the acceptance keys, emails, the newsletters, the fucking this, the that, all of the, then you have to get a place to put your passwords that also needs a password. So you need a place to store that password also in case you forget that password, then you'll be locked out of your other password. Like, and then all the things you got to do on every website where you constantly know you're under surveillance or whatever, right? So at this point, you're experiencing some level of fatigue with new technology. AI comes out. If you're not scared about it, I think at most people would be like, what is this, some new app? Fuck off, right? I don't want a new app. Leave me alone. So what they had to do was scare the shit out of people so that they would stand at attention and actually look into what AI is. And, you know, as you do that, you fall into their information ecosystem, right? Where once you get past the first layer of fear mongering that just gets disseminated throughout the internet in these like scary news titles, once you get past that, you actually look into it, then they have probably a second line of attack where they also control that information, where then they dispel those fears but then present you with opportunities for you to not become obsolete, for you to not be vulnerable to automation, right? So and then also rich people, listen, I'm around, lately I've been around wealthier people, and for whatever, because, you know, it's just Austin is like that. It's just fucking, all these people are everywhere here, and you hear them talking, you talk to them, and it's pretty clear that they are completely jazzed about this thing. But you should also not be fooled by that, because it's not that they're completely jazzed, is that, you know, they are naturally or have been trained to be, or have been conditioned to be so terrified already. Like, they also experience fear, but their fear is the fear of becoming you. So they don't want to be you. So instead, they want to move away from you as fast and as possible, and to get as far away from you as possible. And I'm talking about income brackets here, right? So in order to do that, they have to roll with the punches, go with any new technology, any new turn of events, right? They have to turn it, right? Put a positive spin on it, positive spin on a negative thing. So they are completely excited about it, but they are so excited that you kind of feel a little bit of anxiety, like there's a little edge to that, because the thing is that they are very confident in their abilities and their privilege and their advantages than the fact that they have these wealthy social circles, in so that they feel that they'll be able to turn AI towards their benefit, just like everything else has kind of turned towards the benefit of people who were already doing all right. Now they're doing even better. Everybody that was doing all right, doing better. Why? Because they got into the stock market at a good time. People bought Bitcoin. Shit was happening. So all these people just got lifted. They got on this elevator that some of them didn't even know was there, and now they're just at this level. And they want to stay there. Everybody that they missed the elevator, they missed that boat. They are literally starving themselves at this point, right? They are doing all of the things that the people that are on the elevator do, but they're doing it out of necessity. So they are intermittent fasting. They are, probably doing hot saunas. But that's because they can't afford air conditioning and they live in a hot climate, right? They're doing cold plunge, but it's because the hot water in their apartment has been off for a long time. They're doing all of the things that longevity snake oil salesmen are selling to rich people, but they're doing it because they're broke, not because they think it'll help them live longer. Because, you know, at the core, it's like they don't have access to the same nutrition. It's really kind of what it comes down to. But rich people are not eating plants, by the way. That's another load of bullshit that is being just disseminated online for poor people. The rich people are eating meat, and they're eating a lot of it. They're eating a lot of meat right now. It's huge with rich people. So everything that you see online is utter claptrap, okay? It is not real, obviously, but you got to understand the ways that it's not real. This is one of them. This AI fearmonger shit, right? They know that... they know what they're messing with. I mean, things will get automated away, right? The real issue is, I don't know. I think it's foresight, intelligence, all of the things that you can get with more money. You know, so that's what they're spending a lot of money on themselves. But for everybody else... Yeah, I mean, we're just turning in... if you don't have access to a way to get past paywalls enough to research AI, to get to get chatbots, to do all... And then those people are just like the peasants with pitchforks in the Frankenstein movie, right? That's what they're going to become. But that's what the robot dogs are for. You know what I mean? Like when it comes down to that, that's what the robot dogs are going to be for. And they want to also probably scare people so that they can predict who the peasants with the pitchforks are going to be and the torches. So this is all just a big game right now online, not offline. Offline things are just kind of the way they always were. It hasn't changed. But the only thing you do see is people are just on their phones scrolling. And that's the problem. It's like, if you don't just look around and see what's actually happening, then the thing in front of you, whatever you're looking at, is telling you what's happening. So if you go look at a tree, the tree will tell you what's happening. The tree will be like, I'm growing still. How's it going with you? And you'll be like, nice. And then you'll breathe the air. You'll be like, the air smells nice. And the air will be like, that's what's going on. Do you understand? I don't know why I'm making this anthropomorphic analogy with nature or whatever, but I'm just trying not to say touch grass, because it's really... pretty cliche at this point. But it really is like that. Sometimes, look, Marcus Aurelius, he said that, right? You sometimes, and I'm going to butcher this, I'm going to paraphrase it and millennialize it and make it seem idiotic. But basically what he said is, look, you have to go outside, you have to look up at the sky once in a while. It'll put everything back into perspective. And that's the one thing phones... don't let you do. Phones are the way they're shaped, these little squares. Think about your whole life, dude. Your whole life is squares. You're in a bunch of squares. You're being organized. They're flattening you for the internet, okay, into a data point, so that they could stick you in like a little display case, virtual one, like a digital one for data, just like the way they used to do with butterflies. They just pin them to a little thing with thumbtacks and put them behind glass, and then you could just examine them, and they're like little specimens, and you're like, this is this kind of, you know, but they're doing it with you, right? The you know, like, you think you're looking at something through glass. You're the one behind the glass to these tech oligarchs. You're the one behind the glass. You're on the other side of the glass for them too. And guess what they're doing? They're looking at you. They're looking at you. They're looking all over you, looking at you. I can't wait. In about 10 years, I think I'll be ready to go completely insane on Facebook. I'll just go back to text, you know, just devolve from video to text, all caps, and just talk about this kind of shit. So people can ignore me just like they do, just like it do. So, yeah, I mean, there is a game being played. And you should be a part of it. You should understand that it's a game. And realize that if you're hungry and you're skipping meals, maybe it's time to not play a game. Maybe get off the phone and stop playing games. That's kind of the thing, is kind of what I'm driving at. Because your job will be automated away. It will. But the thing is that AI is actually making new kinds of jobs. What those are, I don't know. They might, it's not like a hope. This is not a hopeful podcast. I wouldn't ever want you to think that. There is no hope. I don't like hope. Hope is dumb. No hope. Hope is dumb. Get rid of it. Don't worry about it. Just live in this. Sit in it. It's good. It's nice. It's dark. It's comfortable. It's comforting. Just know that it doesn't mean that the new jobs are going to be better. They might be worse. They might be more hellish. They might be much, much worse. But they will be new jobs. There will be new ways for you to hate your job and hate your life. It'll always be there. It just might not be something that you understand right now because it just doesn't make any sense in this ecosystem, right? So whatever. Don't let these people scare you into like a bunch of border collies and herd everybody into the directions that they want you to go in that easily. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage against Sam Altman, Elon Musk, and Peter Thiel all night. All night, bitch. Anyway, let's see. Anything else interesting? Well, there is. Okay, so this is all the negative stuff. And I'm sure you've seen all this stuff. Transhumanism. You've heard these terms. I mean, the Guardian is really, really trying hard to like cobble something together here to scare the shit out of us. But it's not without, reason. It's a good reason. I mean, it's just that the thing is that this new technology, every new technology brings a certain kind of person to the forefront to be kind of like the new boss of everybody. When it was just, the Bronze Age, the Stone Age to the Bronze Age to, steel and beyond, right? And steel, actually, yeah, steel, knights and kings, and the violence, just straight up brute force was the way to go. And so, right, the people that took power were the people that were the best at that. And then the Industrial Revolution, right? And then we got the Rockefellers and the people that were the best at navigating that economy. And then for like a quick blip, in a blink of an eye, we were actually, at least in this country and a few others, had achieved some level of weirdly, like actual liberty for a moment, like freedom. The roads were paved. The trains worked all right. There was mobility. There was a good, like the economy was great. And you saw movement, like flash, like lightning happened, right? Decades of beautiful culture emerged. And now that's all gone. But now we have this new technology. And the problem is that the people that are coming to the forefront are nerds, but a certain kind of, like, it's basically the age of autism. It's the age of autism. And the thing is, it's like, it's the age of not only autism, but like narcissism, anything that rewards the current pathways of being, right? Narcissism, like social media, all this stuff, autism, like a lack of perception of certain social mores that make you seem maybe like interesting online or make you kind of cut through bullshit and stay focused on certain tasks because you're not, your attention's not pulled away in the same way. I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying like these are the people now that are coming to the forefront. They're becoming our aristocrats, which means we're backsliding from the closest, I guess, we've ever been probably to some kind of actual more democratic feeling society. It wasn't good, but it had started to have a sort of vibrancy, is what I mean, like growth, right? It started to feel like growth. There was potential. That's why people agitated, and that's why people were agitated about other kinds of injustice, because they were like, we're growing. We want to grow too. What about us, right? Nationalist movements, Black Panthers, Young Lords, right? All these people, they were like, it's time, And then, obviously that all went to shit, but for many reasons. Now what's growing is like nerds, nerds and people with personality disorders. And they're like, it's our time, And the thing is, it's like, I mean, that's cool. But then it's also a time for entrepreneurs, corporate entrepreneurs. And that's the thing. It's like, whatever their personality type is, it doesn't matter. A corporate entrepreneur, there's just so, it's like, they're fine. You know what I mean? Like everybody's fine in society. We need everybody. We need all kinds to make this shit work. But they are not fun to have at the forefront of culture. They're at the forefront, like when they're behind the scenes, pushing stuff, making Taylor Swift a thing when there's like corporate guys making Motown happen and things like that, and or Beyonce or something coming together to make an actually charismatic, likable person come there to the forefront, that's cool. But when it's like them, it's just too real. You're just like, ugh, you're it. You know, they're annoying. They're really driven and ambitious, but they mistake their naked ambition to amass more, right? Whatever their power, money, they mistake it for positive characteristics. They think they're being optimistic and generous. They think they're being charismatic. They think, you know, because they have money, people gravitate towards them. So they think they have charisma. You know what I mean? And so they start to think that they are something they're not. And you can see it when you interact with them, you know, and it's like, no, dude, you just want to make more money. Like, leave me the fuck alone, you know? So it's just this thing where now you got to look these dickheads in the face and act like they're not dickheads. And I love dickheads in their place when they're doing what they're supposed to do. And they're like out of the spotlight. I don't want to hear what Peter Thiel thinks about Christianity. I don't care. Do make money. I know that you are essential for the, you know, maintaining the channels open in the arteries of the economy and like how this works, you know, to keep that heart pumping, money-making heart pumping, right? All of these people, all these companies. But like as a celebrity, you suck. You're annoying. You say things nobody wants to hear. You say things that are exciting for you that everybody utterly and completely hates. That's why it's better that you do it in the shadows, like vampires, okay? Like that's where the vampire archetype came from after a while. It was just kind of an allegory for rich, annoying CEOs and such, and even bigger than CEO, no, board members and all these other kinds of people, you know. And it's like, go be in the shadows and suck the blood and, you know what I mean, and get your powers and have fun, you know. But there's a reason why vampires skulk in the shadows, because everybody knows that what they are, you know. You don't want to see that shit in the daytime. Might as well have a tea party with a cockroach, you know? It's like, go and do the thing. We respect you. We know you're essential. You give jobs and blah, blah, blah. But we don't want to hear it. We don't want to see you. Go put some, like, brand ambassador in your place. Go get Tina Fey or some. I don't fucking know, you know? And have them talk for you and be, or use the AI. That's a good use. Use AI for your corporate brand ambassador, right? I mean, Lord knows that kills the soul of anyone that actually does it who's a real person. So get the AI to do that, and let's get Tilly Norwood to speak for Lockheed Martin and show her tits, and everybody will be cool with it, you know? Like, do that. But I don't want to see the CEO of Lockheed Martin. I want to hear him. I don't want to know that he wants to be a part of like the Hollywood elite or whatever the hell, or just actually like be in on a podcast that I gotta listen. I don't want it. Be a guest on one, I guess, right? You do have to do what you have to do, and you have to, you know, work the social media ecosystem. But okay, anyway, look, this rant is getting completely out of control. But I'm just saying, dude, leave us alone. Anyway, in other news of not being left alone at all, we got China, as usual. A Chinese company has been trying to develop artificial intelligence powered technology that would enable authoritarian governments to not just monitor dissidents, but also potentially predict who could become one in the future. That's lovely. The Chinese company Geege Networks sells a commercial version of the Great Firewall, the surveillance and censorship software that China uses to control online activity. Those tools allow governments to monitor internet traffic and flag when someone tries to get around traditional internet censorship. Yeah. Such technology, if perfected, would give authoritarian governments a powerful tool to use against perceived enemies. They're going to use it to suppress dissent, but they're not saying how yet. Let's see. Yeah, okay. The Vanderbilt researchers found that GEEJ, working with its government-supported research arm, Mesa Lab, was developing technology that would generate profiles of Chinese citizens and then use AI to highlight who may pose a political risk. I mean, come on. All right, they do it from a centralized vantage point, but our private companies do that shit here. And it's the political risk here, this is the political risk here. Because in China, for the Chinese Communist Party, I'm assuming, right? It's not like I know a ton about China, but based on the propaganda I get here, China, right? You know, the high risk people, you know, people who criticize the Chinese Communist Party, basically, right? That threatens its security, its place in Chinese culture, and as the steward of the entire nation, basically, right? As the big papa of China, Chinatown, China. China. It's, hey man, yes, okay, it's Chinatown. So that is that. But for us, I mean, the highest risk people in this country are people who resist being consumers. That's it. Just solely being consumers. The people who resist consumerism in this country are the high risk people. And the ways in which they do everything possible to ensure that everyone remains as mindless of a consumer as they can possibly make them, they put a lot of work into it, a lot, constant, and it's incentivized, you know, in the market, in the free market, you know, free for the corporations that can move about it freely. So, yeah, they do everything, right? They constantly fuel Americans' anxieties and fears and deepest fears about everything, currently AI, but like everything from like your stinky feet to like your shitty attention span to like your stupid clothes to everybody hates you to like, is your ass supposed to smell like that? To like, hey, have you seen the back of your knees lately? To like, hey, do you think your fingers look weird? We do, right? Like everything that now it's like, first they do things to make you want to eat shitty food. And then when you get fat off the shitty food, now they're selling you like, hey, do you hate being fat, right? Now we're going to sell you shots to make you skinny. So it's like constant. And this is why Americans are completely insane. This is why, because we're being deranged constantly, and especially now on our feeds, right? So we're completely out of our fucking minds. And so it's so easy to get somebody who wants to resist consumerism to fall in line, because you're surrounded by insane people who have been trained to look at you and be like, hey, what are you, some kind of dirty hippie? What the fuck is wrong with you, right? So you're getting bullied by completely crazy people. You also look around at like what would happen if you were a complete non-consumer and all you see are meth addicts on the street. So then that's terrifying. And it's almost like they maintain drug addicts in this country because they are a great buffer. They scare the shit out of everybody. They make you fall in line. You go to work because you don't want to be them. So, you know, there's never going to be another hippie movement here, for example. Not easily, not anytime soon. But we have our own ways of doing what China's doing with this now that we also have AI. It's just companies are doing it on their own incentive, imperative, or whatever the fuck. So, yeah. Let's see. Anything else? Anything interesting about this? Because, you know, I'm saying what I'm assuming is that, you know, they'll highlight high risk people in China, but they'll just use it to, you know, slam their personal online ecosystems with propaganda and like maybe like threats in some way to make them fall in line. But it's like I don't know. China at this point more and more seems like a sort of a dark mirror to the United States. If anything, it's just, you know, it's more centralized control, but we're just decentralized control. And we're not even that decentralized. It's getting more centralized because we're centralizing around corporate monopolies. Former Biden administration officials said intelligence showed that their policies restricting China from high-end U.S. designed chips had worked at keeping the U.S. artificial intelligence edge and at slowing the development of other Chinese technology. And this is another fucking, Yeah, I mean, yeah, mention that because then, you know, we're the good guys again, right? It's like we just want to be the good guys so bad ever since Vietnam. But we're it's too late. The mask is off. Everybody knows that we live on the Death Star, dude. Let's see. Profiling future critics. Yeah. Gige's research team was doing more than just documenting behavioral patterns. They were trying to predict what citizens might do next and with whom. Those stockpiles of data on ordinary materials are raw materials for generating profiles that determine who you are and what you will do next. I mean, yeah, of course. This is every authoritarian's wet dream. And it's not even just authority. I mean, this is power. That's all. This is just like the new language of power. This is a new currency. Predictive technology. You know, to see into the future. Let's see. Yeah. And I don't even think they would go, you know, just knock on your door right away. They would probably, you know, send you a bunch of warnings. They'd be like, well, why? It's enough to know that you're being watched. It's enough to know. And you know that from here. Knowing that we're being watched as Americans through our phones has altered us in ways that we probably can't even imagine, in ways that, you know, we'll never come back from for the foreseeable future. But anyway, on that optimistic note, I mean, look, all I got to say about that is enjoy every day. Enjoy it. This is like the perfect time to enjoy every sunrise, every sunset, to soak it in like a person who's about to be executed. You know what I mean? And the date's coming closer. It's like, this is the time to look at how beautiful everything is. Look at your kids. Look at the sky. Soak it in. Soak it in. Because even if everything turns out all right in the end, at least that will be better than having stared at your phone through the whole fucking thing. Anyway, so that's my take on that. You guys have a good week. Thank you so much for tuning into the Melissa Diaz Report. I was Melissa Diaz. Now I'm out. I got to get the hell out of here. I got to go pick up a yard sign I ordered on UPS. All right, bye. Bye. Bye.